This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Now on Joy 94.9, this is The Glow Show with your host, Victoria Police LGBTI Liaison Officer Gabrielle Tyack, Joy's own Will Lanting, with a range of Victoria Police staff and Joy volunteers coming together to inform and support our diverse LGBTI communities. Here is The Glow Show on Joy.
And welcome to The Glow Show, Joy 94.9. Gabby, how are you going today?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. And
always wonderful.
Always wonderful.
Always happy to be here Monday night.
It is. It's wonderful, isn't it?
Start of the week.
I know.
Here with you, talking to some wonderful police officers. It's a good way to start the week.
It is a great way to start the week. Now, we've got a bit of a special episode tonight.
It's always a special episode with us.
But we need to talk a little about cars, which is going to be fantastic.
You love that.
I do. Aeroplanes, cars, boats, jet skis, you name it.
Anything
I love it.
With an engine.
Yeah. And who have we got in tonight?
Well, these wonderful police officers are people that I work with on a daily basis because they're part of the Melbourne Proactive Unit, which I work in. Mm-hmm. So we've got leading senior constable Glenn McFarlane, who's a crime prevention officer. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Gab. Thanks for having me.
You've been on air on Joy over the years a number of times, so some people may recognise your voice and your name. And hopefully welcome you back.
And can I just say that I am not the Glenn McFarlane from the Herald Sun?
No, different. Different Glenn McFarlane.
Yeah, I think he's got more hair than me.
I've never met him, perhaps. And we've also got another crime prevention officer from this unit, from our proactive unit, leading senior constable Steph Else.
Hi, Gabby. How are you?
Steph, welcome to the show. I should give a little applause for you both.
Both of you.
The little joy applause. Now, welcome to The Glow Show. It's great having you here. Now, Glenn, I'll just start with you. What made you decide to become a police officer?
I think it was something I always wanted to do as a young person, but with my vintage, I was actually too short to join when they had height restrictions. So I end up working in the bank and then in the public service with the Air Force, and then they got rid of the height restrictions, etc. So I end up joining, which is something I'd wanted to do from when I was a young person.
And what unit did you begin at after your time at the academy?
At the general duties, we all sort of go through general duties, and then we came into the city here and learned how to flap our arms around and direct traffic and and things like that. And then we went out to our training stations. So mine was at Sunbury. So I was up there for 2 or 3 years, and then I sort of moved around the northwest metro area, and then I went to the Macedon Rangers.
Okay.
And worked up in the country area up there, and I actually spent the turn of the century on night shift in Kyneton, and at midnight we were sitting in the van down the main street of Kyneton
wondering if the engine was going to stop.
No person, no cars.
Wow.
And we were waiting for the
Millennium bug
to whether it was going to kick in or not, and nothing happened, and we kept going and went home in the morning.
I love that millennium bug. Now you've started me. It was really funny because I had some computer gurus in America, and they were so obsessed by it, and they'd bought guns and supplies. And I was on a yacht on the Yarra, and it was 1 in the morning that it had turned, and I called them and I said, yep, everything's working. It was all crap. You should have seen the disappointment. They were just so convinced it was going to happen. It was interesting times, but yeah, fantastic.
They hadn't gone into the bunker at all? Or?
They were ready because they were like 10 hours or 15 hours behind us. And I called and said, oh, the cars are going, the lights are working, everything's great. And I've bought something from the shop. Everything's fine. It was all a lot of rubbish.
I was in Sydney standing under the Harbour Bridge with about thousands and thousands of other people welcoming in the new century. None of us were too concerned about that.
Obviously, you weren't working.
No, I wasn't a police officer at that point.
Okay.
Now, Steph, what made you become a police officer?
Probably a little bit like Glenn. I wanted it from a young age, and I remember finishing high school and got the forms to apply, and my dad was like, oh, no, you're not joining the police force. So that put a stop to it. I went to uni. got a degree, came back, went overseas, I then came back and got a job with Victoria Police as a public servant. So I worked for a few years and I worked with Crime Stoppers as well. And I thought, right, so off I went and applied and went through the whole process. And just before I had to go into the academy, I said to my dad, I'm joining the police force. And the shock on his face, but and here I am today. So,
and is he proud of you now?
Sure is.
Excellent. We love Crime Stoppers because the Glow Show started in about 2008 or 9 as being joined with Crime Stoppers. So the show was a regular, had a regular Crime Stoppers spot. So we love them.
Yes, it was a great place to work for.
And so after the academy, where did you end
so
up?
I finished up from the academy. I ended up at Doncaster. I was there for a couple of years. I also in between that time went off and had a baby, so it put a bit of a stop to my beginning of my career, I should say. Once I completed my 2 years, I came into the city and I worked at Melbourne West for about 7 years. Loved it, loved working in the city. I then moved on and worked in the intelligence unit for a 2.5 years, and now I've been back in the city with the Melbourne Proactive team with you guys.
Wonderful.
And we love having you.
Oh, I love working with you.
The Melbourne Proactive team, it must be a wonderful unit having all your
people. It is, because we've had quite a lot of the unit on over the years here. We've had Dinesh is a regular, so he's one of our multicultural liaison officers. He comes on here all the time. But now we've got you with you, got you with us here. Can you tell me some interesting police stories? Because the public likes to hear some good policing stories, and I like to hear them too.
Oh, we love police stories, don't we?
Tell us something exciting. What's happened of your career that you're really proud of? An arrest or an event, an incident that you went to?
Oh, look, there's probably many, but a funny one I can tell you about. When I first came into the city and along Swanson Street, we had a member of the public tell us about a male who appeared to be drunk at the time. And my offsider I was working with, he said, I'll go and get the van and are you going to be okay with this guy? And I said, yeah, I'll be fine. I'm talking to him, and then probably a couple of minutes later he's realised, oh, hang on, I think I'm going to be taken away by this woman. So he's gone to run and I've chased him down Swanson Street. I've grabbed him and he's tried to remove his jacket. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, everybody's just watching me.
So he's trying to get away.
Yeah, he's trying to get away. So I'm sort of battling there with him.
Having a wrestle.
Yeah. So I sort of got him half nearly down, and then all of a sudden this woman comes out of nowhere and just jumps on him and puts him down and held him down there until the other police officer came, which was, and I'm thinking, oh, all I could think of was everyone's just watching me. But, yeah, that was one funny incident that I could say.
So thank goodness for that lady who helped you. But people can assist police. If you're struggling with someone, they're able to actually assist you. That's a legal thing.
Yes, they can.
That's good to know, because sometimes we do struggle with offenders that we're trying to arrest. Some people are on drugs, have extra strength. If they've got some mental health issues, that can give them some additional strength or resistance, and so we might need some extra help, and so we can ask the public to assist us.
We can. I wouldn't encourage it as much though, because we don't know what the other person has on them, and therefore we don't want to jeopardise their safety as well.
Of
so
course.
We've got to make sure that we don't really put someone else's life into
danger. You probably wouldn't recommend me trying to help out, and it wouldn't go too far. You're on the Glow Show, Joy 94.9, where we've got Leading Senior Constable Steph Els and Leading Senior Constable Glenn McFarlane, Crime Prevention Officers from Melbourne Proactive Unit. And tonight we want to talk a little bit about car theft and car jacking and car issues. So, Glenn, what's going on out there in the streets? Or they're pointing at each other. They want each other to
talk. No one wants to answer.
what's some of the issues that we're kind of having to deal with at the moment and need to be aware of?
Well, at the moment, what we're trying to sort of put out there to everyone is to be aware of what's going on around and protect your property and your vehicle from wherever you have it parked. A lot of the times we park our vehicles out in the street if we don't have a garage or a driveway. So you want to make sure your vehicle's locked during the times you're not with your vehicle. don't leave valuables, you know, make sure you remove anything that's in sight. Therefore, it stops people from trying to break into the vehicle.
And I always leave my glove box open so that it's obvious there's nothing in there. So even though there might not be any valuables visible, I also try to show people if they're looking into cars, trying to figure out which car to break into, they can see in mine there's nothing visible, plus the glove box where people might conceal valuables, they can see there's nothing in there as well.
That's pretty good, because a lot of people, although we keep saying, you know, lock your vehicles, remove your valuables, we still have a lot of people out there who will leave their wallets, laptops, all sorts of things in their vehicles. My daughter, for example, you know, we go somewhere and she's got a computer. Take it with you. Oh, no, I'll put it under the seat. No, take it with you because it'll get stolen. So, you know, people just assume if I put it under the seat or if I lock it in the glove box, it won't be seen. But people are out there. They do break into vehicles. They do rummage through glove boxes and everything, and they'll steal them.
One of the things that frightens me is carjacking. I see that. When you talk about that or think about that, you think, you know, this must be an American problem or a problem that you have in countries like South Africa. Is it a problem here in Australia or very much Victoria?
We've had some incidences of it. It's not as prevalent, as I think, as what it is overseas and things like that. But what we obviously say is, and I think I believe you're the owner of a nice new vehicle or mm-hmm. newish vehicle, and that is, it locks itself once you get in and start going?
It does, actually. When you get to 7 kilometres an hour, the thing auto locks every door.
And obviously for other people who've got the older vehicles that haven't got that, obviously what we recommend is locking, when you're driving along, lock your car. That way, we had, I think most incidences here were where people were pulling up at traffic lights or other areas around town, and the crooks were taking advantage of that and opening the doors and either taking property off the front passenger seat and or engaging with the driver of the vehicle, pulling them out and things like that. So obviously, if you're driving along, we recommend you lock your car even when you're going. Just a little story on that. I came from the Macedon Ranges, nice country area, as I was saying, and I came back to working in town here, and I did a night shift, and at 3 or 4 a.m. I had to drive up King Street in Melbourne, and being from the country, and it's a human nature sort of thing. You've got to get into the habit of doing things. And anyway, I didn't lock my door or anything as I was left work. And anyway, I was driving up King Street and all of a sudden I thought, I'll lock my door, I think, because there were so many people around in various conditions and states of whatever, and they were wandering across the road and everything else. And I just thought, I didn't feel safe having my door unlocked. So I locked the door.
Being aware of your surroundings is a very important thing. You're on The Glow Show, Joy 94.9. We have Leading Senior Constable Steph Else and Leading Senior Constable Glenn McFarlane, Crime Prevention Officers from Melbourne Proactive Unit. Stay tuned for some more. We'll be talking a little bit about car crime and some prevention and tips. You're listening to The Glow Show, Joy 94.9.
You're listening to The Glow Show on Joy. Back soon.
Your community is our business.
Joy 94.9.
Welcome back. This is The Glow Show on Joy.
You're back on The Glow Show with Gabby and Will, and we're in the midst of a really interesting conversation with our crime prevention officers from Melbourne who I work closely with. I'm Glenn McFarlane and Steph Else, and we've been talking about vehicle crime and crime prevention, and also a little bit about both officers. We've had an interesting story from both of them in relation to just general police work, and I'd like to ask Glenn if you have any interesting police stories you want to share with us, other than what you just shared about driving up King Street and making sure your door was locked.
I was hoping all these would make up for the other bits, but it didn't work, did it?
No, I want to hear it.
Oh, no. When I was at the Macedon Rangers, I got a Chief Commissioner's commendation. We had a lady with a mental health service up that way, and she was suicidal and things like that, and she'd taken off and she'd gone to Mount Macedon, which was in Macedon Ranges, funny enough. And anyway, so she went there and she was standing on a lookout up there, and she was going to be jumping off and all that sort of thing. So myself and my partner, we were the first ones there, so we were engaging with her and trying to talk her down, so to speak. And obviously, after a period of time, which I couldn't even say when it was or that, she felt that she wasn't getting anywhere and wasn't coming to a conclusion, sort of thing. So she went to jump, and I sort of dived forward and grabbed hold of her, and So what happened was I sort of went over the edge, and she fell on my hand on top, and that was what was holding me above. Sort of thing. So, and
you're hanging over a precipice.
A big hill.
Okay.
But so it's like volcanic rocks and all this sort of thing. And yeah, so anyway, they went to lift her up, and when they went to lift her up, I sort of thought, this isn't good, sort of things. I said, can you give me a hand? And all that sort of stuff. So yeah, so.
Wow, you put your life at risk. And you saved her life.
Yes. Yeah.
Well done.
Well done. Do you know what became of her? Did she get the help that she needed? And
she'd been, she was known to us.
Yeah.
And she'd had a number of incidences and things like that. And I probably left not long after that up there to come down here to Melbourne and things like that. So I never, once I came down here, I hadn't heard anything else about her or that. But, you know, she was getting that ongoing treatment and that. And hopefully, yeah, she's
excellent.
And we know that quite a few people who are at a stage in their life where they're thinking of taking their life or committing suicide, that once that time has passed, they never actually go back to that state. So hopefully that you've saved that young lady's life, and she's living
a
regular productive life now.
Yeah.
Well done.
Now, guys, we're talking a little bit before, obviously, about what you do. You're in the car crime prevention area. Now, another thing what comes to mind when we talk about cars is cars being stolen at home. Now, once again, you know, when you think of that, you think of other countries, but it's becoming a very real issue here. I've been hearing it on the news a lot, where people are seeking where the nice cars are, and then at the middle of the night, they will go to the people's residence and take their luxury car or their nice car from that. So how much of a problem has this become in the last few years or last 10 years?
Okay, so obviously what it is that we had a trend of that last couple of years, but it sort of died down for the last year.
Yep.
Whereas
it's kind of peaks and troughs with it, isn't there?
Yeah. It depends on what will happen is that the offenders will obviously, for what they want the monetary gain or what that for, or to utilise the vehicles. So if they can get them another way, they will. It's like we have trends occasionally where at service stations that you pull up at the service station, fill up your car, you go in to pay, and the offenders will be waiting over to the side. They'll come and you know, take the car if you leave your keys in the car while you're filling up and things like that. So that it's like anything, it comes and goes sort of thing. But with the houses, in the last week or so, we've seen there's several offenders that have been sought by the police for this type of thing. But I think what you're leading to there is obviously the security on the vehicles has improved
dramatically.
Compared to the old days with the coat hanger or the bit of plastic that you could put down and all that sort of thing. So what's happening now is the offenders know that they need to actually get the keys. So, as we say, the house break-ins and things like that.
So they're looking for the electronic dongles on a lot of these luxury cars.
Yeah, or for other cars like mine, you're looking for the car key.
Yeah.
But, so therefore what happens is that there's two ways of thought on this. Obviously, if you have the keys inside the door on the table, it's easily accessible and things like that. Whereas obviously if you hide it or put it somewhere else where it's not that obvious, obviously if an offender's breaking in looking for your car keys, they have to search for it. They might have that confrontation and engagement with the person living there. So I think it's a personal preference of the individual people. I myself, personally, I would be rather have my keys near the front door. It's property, unfortunately.
It's generally insured?
Generally insured. Well, yep. Should be insured.
No matter how much it costs, you can always replace the car, but you can't replace a loved one if it gets ugly.
If the person or people have gone to the extent of breaking into your premises and your home, they're looking for your car keys to steal your car. So I would rather make sure that myself and my family is safe rather than have them come to me demanding access to the keys or any other property. So, I mean, we all want to keep a property safe, but at the end of the day, people's lives are more important than belongings.
Yep, but some people might have a very expensive car or a vintage car or something like that where they've got that more personal attachment, and as I say, it's their own personal choice which way they go with that.
Yeah, look, you can understand that. I mean, I love my car, and yeah, good luck to the person who tries to steal that. I mean, that's my baby. But also, really, the reality is at the end of the day, it can be replaced, and the last thing you need is to be injured or have one of your loved ones injured as well.
So what can we do to try to prevent theft from motor cars or theft of motor cars?
Well, if you want to prevent your theft of motor cars, lock all your doors and windows, make sure they're secured, park in a well-lit, secured area. Never leave your keys sort of in your car. There are people who might leave keys in the car. They'll run out, and especially in winter, you'll find...
People still doing that?
Yeah. You'll find a lot of people will... I actually saw someone the other day as I was driving to work. He stopped at an ATM machine. His car was running, and he's run out, get money out of the ATM machine. And I thought, oh, goodness, you're a target. You know, someone will just jump in and drive off with your car. So people still need to be aware. And even though you think it's a split second, I'm going to run out.
That's all people need.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
If opportunity.
Yeah. If someone's there at the right time, they'll take it. So lock your cars, remove the keys from the vehicle, and park your cars in a well-lit area.
So can I just add to all this? Mm-hmm. At the moment, we're seeing an increasing trend in motorcycle and scooter thefts.
Why is that, you think?
Because they're easily accessible. Okay. Most people park them on footpaths. Most people park them out the front of their apartment buildings in inner Melbourne, and or if they come to work and things like that. They've got security on them. They're either the steering locks or other locks and that sort of thing. But unfortunately, motorcycles can be lifted. So they can actually have a van or a car with a trailer or similar like that, and they can actually just lift them up and put them in there and drive off. So the actual locks and that on them aren't effective. But that includes even in a lot of people living in apartment buildings. And that goes for vehicle crime as well. They think that it's safe in the underground car park because they've got the gate that goes up, the gate that goes down. Unfortunately, the offenders tailgate in. And again, they'll steal the motorbikes by what we were just saying, but also steal from cars. Cars can have keys in them, they have their property in them, because people think that they're secure when they're really just like parking them out on the street.
So with the motorbikes and scooters on the street, how do you prevent thefts? If you're locking it and you're putting, and they've got the locks on them, but people are just picking them up and carrying them away, what can you do?
Yep, there are aftermarket security systems where you can get, where it sort of creates like a force field. No, it creates a barrier around the actual motorbike, and if something, it gets moved or that outside that range, then it can set off an alarm and goes to your mobile phone and things like that. Unfortunately, not many people, most people don't actually either get it aftermarket or they don't get it when they're buying their motorcycles or scooters or that. But with this developing trend and increase of these thefts, obviously it's something that I would recommend to anyone who's got a motorbike or a scooter, that, you know, to look at that when they're purchasing it, because obviously you can wrap that all into the loan or whatever it is that you may have or that, whereas if it's after that, you've got to come up with the cash or that to buy it.
It'll probably lower your insurance anyway.
Oh, I'd say so, exactly. Yeah, but you need to contact your insurance company to,
of course,
check to make sure.
Interesting stuff. Yep.
Oh, sorry. And just back on the preventing from the theft from motor vehicles, as we spoke earlier on, don't leave valuables in the sight of anyone. Remove what you've got. Again, lock your vehicles. Though in saying that, there are a lot of people that don't lock their vehicles for that reason. They'll say, well, if they're going to break into it, they might as well just open the doors.
They don't want the car damaged.
Yeah,
they'd rather take the property.
That's right. Yeah. Or they don't leave any property in there, but they also leave it unlocked as well.
Yeah. Sorry, just to probably finish is that what we say is it could even be $2 or $3 of change in the console. It costs the crook or the offender nothing to actually break your window and seal your $2 or $3, but it's going to cost you a few $100 and the insurance and everything else to
have
to
your window replaced.
Yeah, and like I said, it can be the silliest of thing that you see. It could be even a sports bag you've got on the back seat that you know is empty, but the offender doesn't. They look through your window, they see that the bag there, they'll break the window to see if there's anything in it. Nothing in it, they go. And yet you've got
you're left with the cost.
Exactly. So
interesting stuff. Lots to talk about. I love all this sort of discussion, and there's some fantastic tips out there. Now, guys, thanks very much for coming in tonight. It's been a pleasure having you in. And, yeah, Gabby, you stay safe this week.
Yes, I'll see you next Monday. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for coming
thanks,
in, guys.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to The Glow Show, Joy 94.9.
That's it from us today. Thanks for listening to another Glow Show on Joy. Tonight's episode has just been loaded to the Joy website and our podcast feed on iTunes. So if you missed anything important, you can hear it again now. Please support the volunteers who make the Glow Show happen by subscribing to our podcast and sharing them with your friends on social media. The Glow Show is produced by Will Lansing and Gabrielle Tyack and edited weekly by me, Jason Gibbs. See you next time on Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.